Today's shir is Masechta Shavuos Daf Yud Aleph. We begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Amud Beis and on about 12 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Ula, Amar Rav Yochanan, Tamidim Shloihut Shulchan Tzibur. We know a number of halachas. We know that every day they had to bring a Karban Tamid, two Karban Tamids, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. The Karban Tamid was brought from the maksa shekel money that they collected, and that money was every year collected. Rosh Chodesh Nissan was the cutoff date when they had the truma chadasha, the new maksa shekel money used, and you had to use the new maksa shekel money on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. But you always have in the place where they kept the animals six animals. And the reason they always had six animals in that lishka, in that place, because the animals, before they could be used for a Karban Tamid, had to be mavukar, had to be checked that they shouldn't have any mum. Now, what happens is, it's Rosh Chodesh Nissan, you have the animals that are designated, the money from last year was used to buy them, so on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, you cannot use those animals anymore because they were purchased from that old money. But you need to use these animals because you have to use animals that, as we just said, were mavukar, that were properly inspected. So they had to figure out a way of transferring the kedusha from those animals to the new to have been bought. With the new money. And normally, the halacha is that you cannot redeem an animal that's hegdish unless it becomes a balmum. Here, the animal wasn't a balmum. It's actually a perfectly good animal, but it's not able to be used because of the concern that we just identified, because we need to use new money. That's the Pasha Pshat. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. There are other Rishonim that say that they bought all the animals for the whole year, and then they used them up, and now we have the problem with the leftover animals. Another variation of this pshat I saw is that the animals that they had got lost, and they were only found in the new year, but they're perfectly good animals. The only problem with those animals is that they had been bought with the old money, and now the animals that are supposed to be used are supposed to be used from the value of the new money. The question, of course, is that the Rajba asks, why don't we just take new money and buy new animals? So the simple pshat is that they had the animals had to be inspected before, and the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, that's the way the Ritva approaches this Gemara, is that the animals had to be mavukar, had to be inspected after they were hegdish. They didn't check the money before the animals were inspected. They only checked after they had purchased the new animals. And since they only used the money after they made them hegdish, and now we have this problem because we have the turnover from the new money to the old money. So says the Gemara, Amar Ula, Amar Rav Yochanan, Tamidim Shlehut Shulchan Tzibur. These Tamidim that we have this issue, what should we do with them? Niftim Tamimim. As we said, that even though normally an animal that's hegdish may only be redeemed when it becomes a balmum, if it's not a balmum, it may not be redeemed. This is an exception to the rule where the animal can be redeemed, even though it's hegdish, and it's not a balmum. Yosef Rava v'kamel hashmatzah, and says the Gemara, Rava was sitting and repeating this Gemara. Amalei Rav Chizda said to Rava, Man tzayis loch ul'Rav Yochanan Rabach. Who's going to pay attention to the halacha that you just said? V'chi kedusha shebehen heichen holcha. And the question the Gemara is asking is exactly what we've been saying, that the halacha is you cannot be poida. You cannot redeem an animal that's hegdish when it doesn't have a balmum. And the question here is, where do you, what's going, how do you do this pigeon if it's not a bum bum? Amalei, so Rava says to Rav Chisda, atloi tizbra, and Rava says to Rav Chisda, do you not say the loy amrina kedusha b'shen lehechen halcha, that even though normally there's halacha, that the only way you could redeem hegdish is when it becomes bamum, that isn't the halacha, suggests the Gemara, when we're speaking about a carbon tzibur. And as we began our shiur today, the halacha we spoke about, we said that the carbon tamid is a carbon tzibur for Tanan, and the Gemara proves that it is indeed done, that we have another situation where we have to be paid to something that's hegdish, and we have to be paid to something that's hegdish, and the way we're paid it is we're paid it even though it doesn't become a bamum. Where do we find that situation? Says the Gemara, we find the situation by the Maisak Tyrus, there's leftover Tyrus. And here too, there are two pshatim. What does it mean, Maisak Tyrus? One pshat is that every year they left over three portions of Ktyrus for the Kohen Gadol to have for when he goes into the Kachay Kadoshim on Yom Kippur and he did the Ktyrus. But as most Rishonim point out, he certainly didn't use that much Ktyrus. So you always have left over Ktyrus above the Meloy Chofnov. That's one pshat. Tysus gives a different pshat. Tysus says that they used to prepare 365 portions of Ktyrus. The reason they prepared 365 portions of Ktyrus was because that was corresponding to the amount of days there are in the solar year. But we know, obviously, in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't follow a solar year calendar. In the Beis HaMikdash, they followed a lunar year. So every year they had 11 portions, 365 over 354 extra portions of the Ktyrus. So then the question is, what would they do with that extra portion? Because again, we're faced with the same dilemma that we began our shiur with. The Ktyrus was prepared and bought from the money of the Trumas HaLishka, but they used last year's money to buy it, and they can't use last year's money for this year's, you can't use last year's money for this year's Ktyrus. So again, they have this dilemma. How do they transfer? And nobody could use the Ktyrus for their own needs. So how do they transfer that Kedusha? And the Gemara says, Maisa Ktyrus, the Mishnah Masech Tishkolim, Perek Dal Mishnah Hay, deals with this issue. Maya Eisenbay, Mafrishim Emenu, they used to take money from the Trumas HaLishka, from this chamber where they had all the Machzor Shekel, to pay for the schar umnim. They had to pay the people who made the Ktyrus. And then what they did was, so now that they used it to pay the workers are very, very entitled to getting paid for this work. The Gemara in Shas says that who were the family that made the Ktyrus? It was the Beis Aftinus. They were the ones that made the Ktyrus, and they had to get paid. So they took that money to pay them for whatever work that they did. That money, when it's given to them, becomes chulin. And then, mechalan oisin al moysa umnin, then they take this extra Ktyrus from that money, and noisin oisin umnin b'scharin. And then they gave the Ktyrus. So to speak, what happened here was the umnin bought the Ktyrus, and then noisin oisin umnin b'scharin, then they would give it to the umnin for pay, and then they would buy back the Ktyrus from these people, from the new money, from the Truma Mishkan. V'nai, and here the same question comes up. Neima, why should we say Kedusha behind Leichen Halcha? What happened to that Kedusha? We see that even though normally something which is Hegdish if it's usable, you can't be paid it. Here, you did do it. So, of course, Rashi asked the obvious question. Why do we have to go through this elaborate back and forth? Why don't they just buy it? Why don't they just use the Ktyrus for paying off the people who did the work in making the Torahs, and then use the new money for pay for buying that back, and then being able to use that for their need, for their Torahs needs. And in fact, the halacha is that this happened so often that the Gemara says that every 60, 70 years, and I think it depends on the size of the hands of the Kohanim to see how much leftover they had every year. Every 60, 70 years, they had so much extra Torahs accumulated that then there was a year that they only had to make half of a portion of the Torahs. So Rashi asks, why didn't you just use the Torahs, pay the Umnim, and then buy it back? So Rashi says that the reason they didn't do it, because that would be a zilzul to the Hegdish. It would be so obvious that we're using Torahs to pay workers, and therefore they didn't want to do it. The Rashba picks it up a little more. He says that since normally we're only paid, as we're learning in our shir, Hegdish when it becomes Bamum, we want to try to minimize that it should look like there was like there was something wrong with the Torahs. And by doing it in this way, it doesn't look like there's something wrong. It just looks that that we have a problem how to transfer it from last year to this year. Another shot that I saw the Rishonim point out is that because it didn't always equal what was owed to them, sometimes if they would have given the Torahs to these Umnim, it wouldn't pay off the entire amount. Sometimes it was more, sometimes it was less. They came up with this solution. But we see from here that when there's no other option, that's what's done. So says the Gemara, why? So we see that, why don't we say, my name of Kedusha Behel Hechen Holcha? Obviously, they'll buy something which is from the Tzibur. We're not concerned with that consideration. Says the Gemara, no, the reason by Ketoros we aren't concerned with that is Ketoros, comrade, you're trying to ask a question, you're trying to prove from Ketoros to the Karban Tamid, Shani Ketoros. It's different when we speak about the Ketoros because Ketoros only have Kedusha Stamim. The Ketoros doesn't have a Kedusha Saguf like an animal. And as I saw the Mefarshim point out, this is somewhat of a difficult teretz, because what makes something have Kedusha Saguf? The Kedusha Saguf is when it's put on the Mizbeach. So the question is, Ketoros is also put on the Mizbeach. So if Ketoros is also put on the Mizbeach, why is it not considered that it has Kedusha Saguf? Says the Ratfaz, that something being put on the Mizbeach alone is not enough to make it be considered like it has a Kedusha Saguf. It has to be put on the Mizbeach and also be put on the Mizbeach for the purpose of a kapara. And the carb and the Ketoros, although it's put on the Mizbeach, it's not there for the purpose of a kapara, and therefore it's not considered something that has a Kedusha Saguf. And Rashi points out that another prerequisite for something to be considered that has Kedusha Saguf is that it was put into Kli Sheres. But the kalim, the different utensils that were used to make the Ketoros are not considered Kli Sheres. And the Meshech Chochma explains, the Pasuk says, V'yas es shemen ha-mishka kodesh, the Pasuk says, V'es Ketoros ha-samim tohor. And the Meshech Chochma points out that a shemen ha-mishka, the Torah uses the word kodesh. By the Ketoros ha-samim, the Torah uses the word tohor. Why? So he explains, the shemen ha-mishka had Kedusha Saguf. That's why the Torah uses the words shemen ha-mishka kodesh. But as we're learning now, the Ketoros did not have Kedusha Saguf. So that's why the Torah deliberately does not use the word kodesh. It only uses the word tohor. So that because it had only Kedusha Stamim, and it didn't have Kedusha Saguf. Ask the Gemara, if we are now learning that the Ketoros doesn't have Kedusha Saguf, Elamiata, ask the Gemara, Shloiti possible Tful Yoim, the halacha is that Truma and Kachim of somebody who went to the mikveh. Somebody went to the mikveh today because he was Tamei, is called a tfilyoim. And for chulin, as soon as the person becomes, goes to the mikveh, he becomes tahor. But for kachim and truma, he's still considered tamei, that if he touches truma, or if he touches kodesh, they become posel. And as we have often said in our shiurim, the difference between the word posel and the word tamei is that tamei means it has tuma, that has the ability to pass the tuma further. Posel means that it's tamei, but it does not have the ability to pass the tuma further. If a tful yoim touches kodesh or tamei, it makes it posel. Alam atanya. But we learned regarding the ketores, the nosna mekdeshes, that if it was put into the grinder, the keli in which it's made, it does get a kedushas aguf, and that's why it's nifsa b'tful yoyim. If a tful yoyim touches it, the halacha is that it will be that it is tamei. So we see that it does have the halacha that it has kedushas aguf. V'chi teima, says the Gemara. So you'll say no. You know why it becomes posel? Not because it has a kedushas aguf, but rather we'll say the reason it becomes that way. That this halacha that we said about tful yoyim is not limited to something that only has a kedushas aguf, that something has a kedushas aguf, but it even applies to something that has kedushas damim. But Tanan asked the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta the Me'ila, Taf Tes Amud Aleph, teaches us not like that. The Mishnah teaches us Hamenachas, if somebody bringing a carbon mincha, me'al behem, the issa mila of using it, for, if you use it for your own private use, all the halachas that apply only kick in misha hugdisha, that from when it becomes hegdish. If they were put into klisharas, hukshul is possible tful yoyim, the halacha is that at this point of a tful yoyim will touch them, it will be possible. Mechusa bikurim is a person that became tamei, and this tuma carries with it a requirement to bring a carbon, which is a zava, a yoledis, and a mitzayra. And these individuals, even if they finish the days of tuma, and even if they went to the mikveh, until they bring their kabbanas, they're considered a mechusa kapurim. And if they touch anything, again, they make it possible. Ubeloyna, the halacha is that when you bring a karban mincha, not by kohanim, there's the kaimitz and the levoina that are burnt on the mizbeach, and the shirayim, the rest of it, is eaten by the kohanim. But if it was left overnight, then they become disqualified. And what is the Mishnah saying? The kot should be kli in, only because they were put into kli sharis. Im loy kot should be kli, but if they weren't put into kli sharis, loy. So we see that there is, that if something only has kedusha stomim, because it wasn't put into kli sharis, since it wasn't put into kli sharis, it isn't subject to these special halacha. Elamai, so what are we going to have to go back and say? Kedusha sagofi. We're going to have to say that when the ketores was put into the mechteshes, it becomes kadosh with a kedusha saguf. Ask the Gemara, if that is indeed the halacha, elamayata tifsa belina. Then if it has a kedusha saguf, the halacha of lina ought to apply. But says the Gemara, lama tanan, there's another Mishnah, Masechta Me'ila, daf yoram and aleph, that says, kaimitz levoina, the kaimitz and levoina of a carbon mincha, vak tyrus, or mechus kahanim, which are completely, as we said, burnt on the mizbeach, or mechus kayin hamishuach, that the halacha is that the kayin gadol has to bring every day a carbon mincha, machtsisa babayka, half of it was offered in the morning, or machtsisa ben abayim, and half of it was offered in the afternoon, or mechus nesachim, that when somebody brings a carbon, he has to bring along with it a mechus nesachim, mealim ben mishahogdashu, kach bekli, if they were put into the kli, hukshurli possible tful yoyim mechusu kapurim, then the halacha of kedushas aguf applies to belina. Kach bekli, loy kach bekli, then there's no halacha by lina. If we're going to say that ketores being put into the machdeshes gives it a kedushas aguf, so then why is the halacha that this that it's not, that ketores doesn't have lina? If it's considered that if it's put into a keli, it has kedushas in the machteshes, it's considered as if it has kedushas aguf, then the halacha of lina, ought to apply to it. Amalei, lina karmit, you're asking me a question from lina. Lina is a different subject, because shani k'tayrus havat surasa b'kol hashana kula. The k'tayrus is different than everything else, because even if we'll say that k'tayrus has kedushas haguf, lina will not apply to it, because it doesn't change, the machteshes doesn't change it. And therefore, only something which changes its what it is, that's when it's subject to lina. So k'tayrus will say that has kedushas haguf, and it is not subject to lina because of its unique characteristic, that it doesn't change, nothing changes it. And we'll see from here that even though something has kedushas haguf, when it belongs to the tzibur, you could be pointed if you have no other option. And that will be back to what we said at the beginning of the shir. So says the Gemara, we'll see from here that something that has kedushas haguf, as long as it belongs to the tzibur, we could be pointed. And the halacha, that you could only be pointed to something if it becomes a balmum, does not apply by kabbanat tzibur. But, says the Gemara, fantastic. That is indeed the rule. But we still have the question, mikom makom kasha, v'chi kedushas haguf shebehen l'heichan halcha. How did that happen? How did the kedushas haguf just disappear? You can't just make it disappear. So Rashi explained that the kli sharis doesn't change the k'tayrus. And since the kli sharis doesn't change the k'tayrus, that's why the halacha of lina doesn't apply to it. The Ramban explains that the halacha is that it would only apply that if it's a kli sharis that's used for other purposes. But the k'tayrus, which is not only used for, which is only used for k'tayrus, there's no concern. It's a very unique type of keli, and therefore it doesn't create that it has a kedushas haguf that it should be posel, that it should be posel belina. Says the Gemara. So now we're back to where we started. Why and how indeed does this happen? Answers the Gemara. So now the Gemara introduces a new concept. Amarava lay bezdin mas nalayim. When the animals are designated for the carbon tamid, when the k'tayrus is designated for k'tayrus, at the beginning, when they are designated for that purpose, the halacha is the bezdin has a mind that it should be only as long as necessary. But if it's not necessary, that it's not going to be kaddish. So there are many different ways of understanding this concept. Tosfos and the Shita explain that what does lay bezdin masna mean? That when bezdin originally was, when they were originally magdish this, they magdish it with that understanding that it's only be kodesh as long as necessary. The Meiri says that the reason it's not because that was the condition up front, but rather the way the Meiri explains lay bezdin, that we have a cloud throughout Shas that hefker bezdin hefker. And since there's a rule that hefker bezdin hefker, bezdin could take something which is technically kodesh and have it removed. The Stipler has an interesting discussion. When we apply over here lay bezdin masna, what does that mean? Does lay bezdin masna point at the Stipler mean that the kedusha that they had from the beginning is now removed? Or does lay bezdin masna mean that from now on it no longer has a kedusha? I was thinking that question that the Stipler asks is really connected to the machloikas rishonim that we just quoted. If we're going to say that the definition of lay bezdin masna means that from the beginning bezdin made the stipulation that they have the ability and they have the right to take off the kedusha, so then lay bezdin masna means that retroactively the Kedusha goes away. But if we're going to say that, like the Meiri, so that means at this point, the Beis Din has a right to do so. Trumas Hadeshin uses this concept regarding the Bima that is in most shuls. And he says that the question, of course, is the Bima is technically designated for putting the Sefer Torah on it. And the question is, how can you use a Bima for other purposes? It's miyuchid, it's separated, segregated for that Kedusha. So the Trumas Hadeshin says that we say Lei Bez de Masna. But there's a lot of discussion around the Lei Bez de Masna that's said in this situation. Some say that we don't want to use Lei Bez de Masna. The Bi'er Halacha seems to suggest, in the name of Prima Godim, that we won't want to use the concept of Lei Bez de Masna unless we have no option. But if we have an option, then we will not use the concept of Lei Bez de Masna. Therefore, he says, and I understand that was the minig by the Chazon Ish and by the Stipler, they had the Bima, and they had a cover on top of the Bima, but when they would take out a Sefer Torah, they would put another cover on the Bima that was used only, it was only there when they used the Bima for reading the Sefer Torah, and that was designated and not ever used for any other purposes. There are different questions that come up using this concept. One question that I saw that the Michas Elazar discusses in the Sefer Darkei Chaim V'Shalom, he says that in many shuls that there's a minig that on Hashanah Rabbah, after they finish using the Hashanahs, they throw them on top of the Aron Kodesh. But the Aron Kodesh, of course, he says, was designated for that purpose to be used only for the Sefer Torah. To put used Hashanahs on top of the Aron Kodesh would be inappropriate. And therefore, he says that it's inappropriate minig. Others, of course, say that it is a minig, and they say we probably have to apply the Lei Bez de Masna. Furthermore, when we speak about Lei Bez de Masna, the Paiskim suggest that it's preferable that if we're going to use the concept of Lei Bez de Masna, it should be clearly articulated. The Stechemid has a discussion that in many of the shuls, particularly the shuls that are known as shtibels, they don't just daven in the shul. Even though the shul is designated as a place for tefillah, they eat there, they have a kiddush there, other such activities. And how could you take a place that's designated for tefillah and use it for that purpose? So the simple pshat is that, as we often see in Shas, there were two categories. There was something known as a Beis HaKnesses and something known as a Beis HaMedrash. And our shuls are not in the category of a Beis HaKnesses. Our shuls are in the category of a Beis HaMedrash. In a Beis HaMedrash, the rules about eating, etc., are much more lenient. But another approach that we could take is that the Meryosha's approach, that we say, Lei Bez de Masna, that when they make the shul, when they build the shul, there's a specific designation that it's going to be used for other purposes, and then we could be lenient. The same comes up that in many shuls, the minig is on a Shana Rabbah and a Simchas Torah, if it's not Shabbos, and they take out all of the Sifrei Torah from the Aron, they put a lit candle into the Aron. And the question is, how could you put a lit candle into the Aron? So again, some suggest Lei Bez de Masna. That was something that was understood and designated up front. There are other Paiskim that say that that's really not much of a question, because the reason it's put in for that purpose is to show the kedusha of the Aron, that we don't want to leave it open, we don't want to leave it empty. And therefore, since we don't want to leave it empty, we put in this candle. So it's not that the candle is in any way degrading the kedusha of the Aron. Really what it's doing is it's showing how special the Aron is to us, that we wouldn't use it for any other, that we don't want to leave it empty, and therefore that's not a concern. So here too, the Gemara says that the way, how does it work with the extra carbon tamid that we began our shiur with today? How does it work with the tyrus that we've been discussing from the beginning of our shiur? The reason in all these cases that it's used, that we could do so, is because of the special halacha of Lev Bezdin, Masen Lehim, that was the upfront designation. Amar Abaya, so Abaya asks, Rav of Mahud Amar, aren't you the one that said, Higdish Zoch L'Domov, if you took an animal and you were Magdish it, that should only have Kedushas Domim, Kedush, Kedushas Aguf, even though that was not your intention. Your intention was that it should only have Kedushas Domim. Since it's something that could have Kedushas Aguf, it immediately gets Kedushas Aguf. So here too, how could you just say that the Lev Bezdin Masna Lehim prevents that it should only have Kedushas Domim? It has the Kedushas Aguf immediately, answers the Gemara like Kasha. When do we say that if you were magdish an animal which could be brought on the Mizbeach, it automatically obtains a Kedushas Aguf? That's when you said, I'm being magdish this animal, and my intention is to sell the animal and use the proceeds to buy a carbon oila. And there the halacha is, since it itself could be used for carbon oila, then you can't make this type of hegdish. But when you said that you're being magdish something that may nesachim, so if you have an animal and you say, well, I want to be magdish for kedushas domim, which means that the animal will be sold and the proceeds you'll buy with it nesachim. Now, animal itself obviously cannot be used for nesachim. So then, even though it's a perfectly healthy animal, it will only have kedushas domim. Here too, when Bezdin makes this tanai up front, that the leftover carbon tamid proceeds, which the money that is realized from buying and selling back and forth those animals, is used to buy a new covering for the walls of the kachem that were plated with gold. So you can't use the animals for that purpose. You can't use animals as the coating of the walls, of the covering of the walls of the kachem. So it's like when you designated, bought something that can't be used for that purpose, everybody agrees it only has kedushas domim. Esrei Abaya asks Abaya, now we learned, connecting it to our sugya. The Braisa says, we have the power and the sorrow from Yom Kippur. Shavdu, that got lost. V'hifrush achreyem techteyem. And now we designated different animals in their place. V'kein tzira avoy dezora. The halacha is that if the tzibur, if the most of the community worshipped avoy dezora based on an erroneous psak of Bezdin. The halacha is, the Torah says in such a case, you bring a par la'oyla and sar lachatas, shavdu, and they got lost. Vifrish achreim tachteim, and now, so they designated different animals. And now the original animals were found, kulam yimusu. All of these animals should be left to die, and it can't be pited them. Because as this halacha, which we often quote, that halacha l'mashim Sinai, of chamish chatas hamesis, the five cases of a karmach chatas that's left to die. One is chatash neskapru baleba behema acheris. If the person who had to bring this karmach chatas designated a different animal, that original animal is left to die. Here too, so the original animal was lost. They brought another animal. And since another animal was brought, the original animal, when it's found, the halacha is that it's left to die, Divrei Reb Yehuda. And of course, Rashi points out that why can't we just use it on next year Yom Kippur? And Rashi says, because the animal that's used in Yom Kippur has to be less than a year old, by next year it's going to be too old. Another pshat is that it's going to be a different truma. Next year will already be a different truma, and as we're learning throughout our shiur, you can't use last year's money for this year's money. Reb Elazar Shimon Amir, Yirach Yustavu, we take these animals and let them become balimum. And then after they become balimum, v'yimakru, we sell them v'yipul ha'demeim l'nedava. We use that money for nedava. whenever it says in the Gemara, V'yiplu d'deim l'nedova, it means that it's brought for oilus keitzem mizbeach. The definition of oilus keitzem mizbeach is that whenever the they wanted the mizbeach to be constant in use, so if there are no kabbonis being brought in the mizbeach, they brought oilus keitzem mizbeach. Shein chatatzi b'meisa. Even though we said that there is a halacha l'mashe m'sinai, the chatatzi b'meisa b'aleo l'misa azla, but that halacha doesn't apply by chatatzi tzibur. Says the Gemara, but why do we have this problem? Based on what we're learning in our shiur today, lema, why don't we just apply the concept of lei bezdin masna leim? So why don't we just apply that halacha? Answers the Gemara, avudim kamrit. You're saying this whole Gemara is speaking about a case where the original animal got lost. Says the Gemara, shani avudim tlo shchicha. The animal should get lost is not common. When do we say lei bezdin masna? The concept of lei bezdin masna is said in a case where the animal, where it's something that we expect to happen. So because we expect it to happen, bezdin makes this type of a stipulation. So as we began our shiur today, to have leftover keteiros, to have leftover animals for the korban tamid is something that happens every year. And Bezdin is prepared for it. And since Bezdin is prepared for it, that's why we say, lay Bezdin masna. Bezdin makes a stipulation for that eventuality. This, that an animal got lost and took a different animal and found it is so uncommon, we don't apply the concept of lay Bezdin masna. Ask the Gemara, Hare Paro, but what about the case of the Paraduma, the Lay Shchicha? The whole concept of a Paraduma is not Shchiach. Because as Rashi explains, that throughout the history of the whole Bayis Rishon and the whole Bayis Sheni, they only brought 7 paradumas. Another explanation that I saw is that Lo Shchiach, which I think is very similar, is that the halacha is that you could only use a paraduma that is perfectly red. There isn't any other type of hair. And it wasn't used for any other purpose. So again, so uncommon. Yet the halach is, Tanya, para niftas al psul shabah, if the paraduma was found to be disqualified, or if it's mace, if it dies, tipada, it should be redeemed. Nishchata, if it was slaughtered not in the right place, and that's why it becomes possible, tipada. Matzah cheres nomina. But now we learn another concept. Let's say you find a nicer paraduma than the original one, tipada. Shacht al gabe merechta, but once you shechted it, then ein lepidi alamis, it's no longer able to be redeemed. So we see that even though it's uncommon, the paraduma, and certainly to find a paraduma, to find another one, that's nicer than the original one, explained the Rishonim. It's such an uncommon occurrence, yet we're saying that it could be redeemed. Why? Because lei bezdin masna aleihem. So we see that even in an uncommon situation, we apply the concept of lei bezdin masna aleihem. Says the Gemara, you can't bring a raya from the paraduma, because the paraduma is a whole different level of hegdish. And it's a level of hegdish called kotche bedek abayisi. And since it's only kachi by the kabayis, the halachas of pidyon are different there than anywhere else. Says the Gemara, ihachi, if we're saying that the type of hegdish we're applying to paraduma is kachi by the kabayis, then meso nishkata, the halacha is that if it was slaughtered or died, tipadi could be redeemed. But ask the Gemara, isn't there a halacha that kachi by the kabayis, in order to be able to redeem it, the Torah requires hamad v'arocha, that the kohen stand it up and assess its value. A dead animal can't be stood up. So how can we b'chlal discuss redeeming it? Answers the Gemara Hamani, who's the town of this Brice of Shimon. The Rav Shimon says, the Amar kotche bedek mizbeach, something that's put on the mizbeach, has the din of hoy b'chlal hamad v'arocha. The kotche bedek abayis don't have the requirement of Hamad V'Racha. Ask the Gemara if you're going to want to say that this Braisa is the following opinion of Shimon. Amos Seifa, let's continue learning the Braisa. Shachta gaba merachta, if you shechted it properly, Eile p'diya alamas, we can no longer redeem it. V'tanya, but the Braisa says of Shimon Omer, that the halacha is that something which is also b'hano, a food which is also b'hano, is not considered a food. And therefore, since it's not considered a food, it's not mekabel tuma. Par matam tumas oichlin. It is mekabel tuma tumas oichlin. And therefore, for example, if a sheretz were to touch the par aduma would become tamei, even though it's osmano. Why? Hayvayis l'shas kaiser. Since at one point it was mutvano. V'amr Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish says, what does it mean when we say that hayvayis l'shas kaiser? Even though it was slaughtered, since if you found another one, niftas agaba merachtai, you could still bring a different one. So we see from here that since it could possibly be redeemed, if you found a nicer one, so that's why it's already not considered a full-fledged level of kedusha. And that's why it's still considered an oichel, and that's why it's makabel tumah. The first braisa said that once you shechted it, it's no longer able to be poided. So how can we suggest, ask the Gemara, that this Bryce is following the opinion of Shimon that says that, or Shimon says that since it's only kosher by the kabayis, hamad v'arocha is not required, but according to Rav Shimon, the halacha should be that even after you shechted it, you should still be able to be poided. El Shari Parah, says the Gemara, a whole different approach to paraduma. Yes, paraduma is uncommon, and normally, by something that's uncommon, we don't say lay bez the masna lea. But the paraduma, however, the meyukarim, since as we said earlier, it's so difficult to find the paraduma. If it's so difficult to find the paraduma, it became very expensive. So even though normally, by unusual cases, the halacha is we don't say lay bez the masna, by paraduma, it has a kedushas aguf, but we still say lay bez the masna, that you could be paid it, that you could be paid it if necessary, and that's why paraduma is very different. The Dvar Avram says that when we speak about a paraduma being so expensive, it's only because it could be used for the paraduma purposes. But what are we speaking about here? Says the Dvar Avram. We're speaking about here where we found a nicer paraduma. So if there's found a nicer paraduma, then this paraduma is not that expensive. So why should we say that he lay bez the masna because it's so expensive? This paraduma is really not that valuable. I have a nicer one. So Dvar Avram says that even a bezdin we can't get back the whole original price, because it really doesn't have much value. They want to get back at least as much as they can. And another explanation says that when they bought the paraduma from the seller and they would spend a lot of money, they would stipulate that if they don't need it, they'll get back their money. But this Gemara is used for a very interesting discussion. The Shas Tshuva Shvus Yaakov discusses a situation, Chelek Aleph Simon Lamed Zayin, where somebody came home on Hanukkah and he couldn't find any olive oil to use, which is the preferable way to light the Hanukkah candles. He only found candles. And he put the candles into the menorah. And then, before he lit, they brought olive oil. She light the candles or she write the olive oil? So he quotes a Shas Tshuvas Beis Yaakov that speaks about a case where a woman fell to Yibam. And the halacha is that if there are a number of brothers, the oldest brother should do the chalitza. Here the oldest brother declined, so a younger brother decided. And then the older brother changed his mind that we don't accept it. So is the same here or not? And many suggest that our Gemara is a raya, that even though you went so far as putting candles into the menorah, if you haven't actually lit them, The halacha is you could take them out. Because what does our Gemara say? Our Gemara discusses the paraduma that you already bought and you already began using, preparing. But then matzah acheres noimina, you found a nicer one. So we're learning that the halacha is you'd put away, you redeem it. We just discussed how you do the redemption and get another paraduma. So here too, and this is the way the Aruch HaShulchan paskins, as long as you haven't begun and you haven't made a bracha on the candles, you should take them out and use the olive oil. If, however, you already made a bracha, then he says, don't use those then continue finishing with the candles. And he says that the case that the Beis Yaakov speaks about with the chalitza is a case where the chalitza procedure already began. So since the chalitza procedure already began, that's why we don't go back to the other brother. But perhaps if the new brother, if they had not yet begun, and now the new older brother wants to do it, maybe we would let him. Amamar, Mesef, the paraduma dies, tipada. Says the Marv, chipoidim is kachim lachilin klovim. If it died, it's a nevela. And the only thing you could do with a nevela is give it to dogs. We're not allowed to redeem kachim for that purpose. Says the Gemara, Aram Shasha, we're not redeeming it to give it to dogs. We're redeeming it because we want to have the hide. Says the Gemara again. So how are we allowed to redeem it? Based on the lebez de masna. Ask the Gemara, the kaimi bezdu masna data da avura, da oira, the Bezdin go ahead and make this stipulation so that we could save the hide? Says the Gemara, absolutely yes. Amarav, Kahana, Amri, Inchi, people say, Begamul Uma, when you have a dead camel and all you could save is the skin of its ear, it's already worth saving. Here too, you can't do much with this animal because as we're learning, it cannot be fed to dogs. It's an nevela. Humans can't eat it and it can't be given to dogs. But the skin, the hide does have some value, not very much, minimal, but it's enough of a reason that the halacha should allow Belei Bezdin, the Bezdin should make an upfront stipulation that we want to be paid it for that purpose.